You know, I thoroughly believe that all human beings have in them the source of life and love and joy. We're created with it. Thomas Jefferson, very controversial in my mind, but he says it right when he says, we are endowed by our Creator, given to us the right to be happy. We've spent the next thousands of years arguing about terms and phrases and names and books, but it's inside, and it always has been. And when you hear a word of wisdom, anywhere in the world, it will resonate, regardless of who's saying it. So one of the things that I loved about Redeemer growing up is that Dad was willing to take chances. And some people were not with it. As the kids would say, they're not vibing with it, Todd. One of the kids said to me, it's a whole vibe. I was like, dude, I'm so old. Vibing means like you're feeling a certain kind of way. And I was listening to some podcasts. I listen to podcasts about religion and philosophy sometimes because I think it's interesting. And there's this famous Zen Buddhist monk who, the story goes, he reached his awakening, his enlightenment. He's walking through the marketplace, and there's a guy at a meat stall buying some meat, and the customer says, "Give me your best piece of meat," and the merchant says, "All of the pieces of meat are the best pieces of meat." And then in that moment, the guy realizes, right, all days are the best day. Every Sunday is the best Sunday. If you quantify or measure things by how many people are in the seats, then this is not a great Sunday. But if you quantify every Sunday as an opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord, then every Sunday's the best Sunday. Every day's the best day. Even when it's raining and the toilet's back up, that's the best day. Even when you're sick and you don't feel good, that's the best day. Once we step into every day is the best day, we free ourselves from the shackles of comparison. The world has foisted a lie upon us that success or happiness has a certain matrix or rubric upon which it's graded. But I would argue that the rubric for happiness is one you create yourself. Imagine if the students could create their own grades. I would imagine we'd have more people on honor roll. As an adult, you create your own grades. So if you look and say, oh, well, you know, I wish I was married to this person, and I'm not, so F minus. I wish I had this job, but I don't, so F minus. Then you created your own report card where you are found wanting. But I would argue that if you can think of your report card as, I am a son or daughter of God, beloved and at peace because of Him, then you get A's across the board. People want to try and trivialize that, and they want to be cynical about it, and they say, well, it's not that easy. Really? Why not? Where did you get this idea that it was not that easy? Who taught you that happiness is this hard thing? Who lied to you and stole your happiness from you? The enemy. He's been lying to us for years, for millennia. And all of us realize that we should be happy, and then we think of all the reasons why we're not, instead of all the reasons why we should be. Every day's the best day. It just is. It flat out is. That's the truth. Accept it or don't. But you will be the one who either gets to have a life full of best days or a life full of days that used to be good or are going to be good at some point. When we were singing "Rushing Wind Blow Through This Temple," the enemy lied to me. I sang that song when I was a child, not a child, in high school. My Christian school had the choir that everybody could sing, but then they had a special singing group. I don't remember what it was called. Something Reflections or something like that. Do you remember that, Mom? And I tried out and I sang that song. And I don't mean to brag or boast, Todd, but I sang the heck out of that song. Miss Black's hair was like whoosh. Like she was in like that stereo commercial. They did not put me on Reflections. They put other people who did not sing the heck out of that song on Reflections. And the reason they didn't is because they did not agree with my father's theology. Dad was making Christian enemies, Todd. And when I heard that song, that memory came up. And that memory made me think cynical, resentful thoughts. And then I was transported back in time. You didn't see it. My corporeal flesh was here singing with you. But my mind went back to the San Fernando Valley in the year 1998. And I started running this whole thing. And this Sunday became not the best Sunday. And then the Lord revealed to me the error of my ways because I've been working at it. And it suddenly became apparent. Gabe, you're in the past. You're in a movie. You're in a movie that you created that you don't like and won't leave. And soon as I was made aware of it, I stepped out of the movie, came back into our best Sunday ever. And it's like that for everything. We're just not aware that we're running these movies. We're driving down the street and somebody cuts us off, and then we start running this movie about how this evil person has, and we think about it, and we think about it, and we contemplate, and we imagine. Our body is still driving, but we're all up here. And if you don't have awareness, then you stay up there. And it becomes the worst drive ever. But when you pray, and when you make prayer and awareness a practice of your life, then those movies become more readily apparent to you, and you're able to step out of it. How many people around the world would kill to have your life? We're taught this since you're a child. There's children starving in Africa. Well, then give them this quesadilla because I don't want it. And our cynicism robs us of the gratitude that we should have. Every day is the best day. Well, it would be the best day if Darcy were here. Yeah, it would, but she's not. It's still the best day. Well, what about still the best day? It's still the best day. And if it's not, then give up. Because if your happiness is dependent upon variables out in the world, I've got news for you, brother. They're never going to line up. Ever, ever, ever. There's not enough money, drugs, or alcohol on this planet to make a person happy for the rest of their lives. The sad thing is they don't realize it until it's too late or until they get there. And they think, I've got everything I ever wanted, and I'm still unhappy. This is the worst day. And what do they got at that point? But if today is the best day, then anything on top of that is just the gravy. It's just the syrup on top of it. That's not even the sermon. That's the thing. That was the best sermon. That's not even the sermon. Ever hear like people come? I complain all the time. I've been the world's worst complainer. I'm preaching it myself first, every day. But I used to complain about everything. You ever hear people like complain about flights? Todd, I bet you hear this all the time, right? Talk about the trials and tribulations, right? You'll never believe. First, they delayed our flight for like an hour, so I had to sit on my phone and watch Avengers: Infinity War while I ate pizza. Right? Then we got on the tarmac, but there were these other planes, and the other planes were trying to take off, so we had to wait to take off. And then it took me 5 hours to travel 3,000 miles. We're learning about the Oregon Trail in seventh grade. Die of dysentery, die of freezing, die of hunger, eat the people who died. But one time, Todd, my flight was delayed, and I had to wait in an air-conditioned room with food. And I had to watch a movie I had already seen. It was the worst. I want to talk about humility today. Sometimes I feel like I give the same sermon every week, but all of it is just different perspectives of the same thing, right? The gospel is listen to the Holy Spirit and try and be present and mindful enough to hear it. That's it. That's the end. But there's different shades of it. There's different aspects. And I'd like to talk about how humility can help you do that. Speaking as a person who has been arrogant for 99.9% of their lives, humility is something that's very difficult for me. But my arrogance was just trying to cover up the lacking that I felt. So really, humility should be very easy because I've always had a low opinion of myself. But I'm talking about humility in a way that enables you to think that maybe you don't know everything, and so there's still growth to be had. As a person who's been a part of churches and Christian schools my entire life, I've heard a lot of sermons, a lot of preaching, and a lot of people tell me different gifts that they have in the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. You know, I hear people say, I've got the gift of prophecy, or I've got the gift of healing, or I've got the gift of... Nobody ever has the gift of being quiet and listening. You know how many times somebody's told me, like, that the Lord told them to tell me something? Really? Has the Lord ever told you to not say anything and to listen? That's sarcastic, but it's true. If you spend your life going around telling everybody what the Lord told you to tell them, then you're not working on your own business. On Sundays, I come here and preach. But the rest of the week, I try to be a person who is quiet and listens. This is difficult because my job requires me to tell kids things. So if I'm not careful, I get into a mode of mansplanation. Mom, do you know what mansplaining is? Mansplaining is a term that I heard on the internet where, like, men tell women things. Like, you know, the wife's car doesn't work, and then the man goes, well, it's the transmission. You're probably leaking the fluid and the blah, 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 blah. And then they overly explain something. I don't know what truth there is to that. But if you're not careful, you become the person who's always explaining things to people. As a child, we call these people know-it-alls. I am a confessed, verified, found guilty of being a know-it-all. Being a know-it-all is not the worst thing to be in the world. However, if you know it all, then you can't learn anything new. but life is about continual growth and learning. And the wisest person realizes how little they know. There can be any number of ways that we are know-it-alls, whether it's about history or science or politics or music or in our faith. Christian people tend to only listen to other Christian people. So one Christian person will talk to another Christian person, and wisdom can be exchanged back and forth. And that is good and right. However, because Christian dogma has become so solidified, they've closed themselves off to outside interpretations. Is everybody following? So as a person who wants to find the Holy Spirit, and we know that all people have the Holy Spirit in them, wisdom can come from my Christian friend Daniel Mabusi. It can come from my Christian mother, but it also can come from my coworker at Trader Joe's. If I'm in a position where I'm humbling myself to be able to accept wisdom, then I'm putting myself in a posture of being ready to learn. And so the Holy Spirit may, some person may say something, carpe diem, man, you only live once. And if I'm a cynical person who's like, whatever, man, I've seen that t-shirt too, then I lose the truth of it. You're right. You do need to seize the day. It's the best day ever. Do you understand? We grow cynical and cold. We grow full up. Like, there's no more new information to be had. But that is the antithesis of the gospel, in my opinion. We got to keep growing. As a young person, you have your whole life ahead of you. So you sit and listen to teachers. You sit and you listen to your parents. You sit and you listen to tell people. And they teach you things and you learn and you grow. But then you reach adulthood and then you think, no, I know it. But the Lord says, make yourself like a child. A child who can be taught. A child who can be guided. A child who can be nurtured. We're going to read a scripture, and then we're going to read something. I've been reading the Gospel of Thomas. There's some good stuff. There's some crazy stuff. But there's some good stuff in there. But first, we're going to start with John chapter 6, verse 28 and 35. We must be humble so that we are able and willing to change our ways of behavior and our ways of thinking. So, in John chapter 5 and 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Now, as we spoke about before, the Jews are looking for the Messiah. Well, how on earth will you know the Messiah? Well, they'll be able to do stuff that other people can't do. So as Jesus is preaching, they're always asking him for signs. Prove it. You say you're the Son of God, do something. Show us a magic trick. Chapter 6, verse 28. Therefore, they said to him, so he's talking about how he multiplied the food and the fish. And they say, how can we do these things? How can we do the works of the Lord? How can we know what you know? Therefore, they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. The work of God is to believe Jesus. How on earth are we able to do that? So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. They already know. They want to be happy. Okay, this bread of life, how do we get it? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. How do you find the happiness? How do you find the life? You seek the Lord. And everyone who seeks the Lord will not be hungry. Everyone who seeks the Lord will not die. Everyone who seeks the Lord will have the things that we all want. Not everyone who's found the Lord. You understand the difference? In traditional theology, you find the Lord. He's there. You have him. So you get eternal life when you die. Now go out and live your life like you would have done otherwise. Everyone who seeks the Lord. I'm seeking him today. I was seeking him yesterday. I'm seeking him always. And in that way, I do his works. Because each new thing, each new every best day is revealed to me. So when I'm driving in the car and I get upset, if I'm seeking the Lord, he calms me down and I'm happy and full of life. When I'm singing the song that brings up a bad memory, I seek the Lord and he brings me back into life. I'm constantly seeking him and therefore I'm constantly living and full of the stuff that I want. And when I am not seeking him, there's nothing that I could do. As I've said before, I love video games. I look forward to video games. It's one of the few worldly things that are not my children that I truly enjoy. And then the video game comes out and I play it. Yeah, that's fun. And that's the end of that. Happiness cannot be that. Because it comes and goes. Happiness cannot be a new car. Because I'll buy it and then it'll be old. Happiness cannot be a bigger house. Because one day the toilets won't work. Happiness cannot be any of those. Happiness cannot be my children. Because they'll grow up and move away. Happiness cannot be my family members. Because they'll get busy and move. Happiness can only be him. Because he's always there. And because he's always there, when I seek him, he'll always be there. Sing songs. You got to give all your praise to God. You got to give everything to God. I'm not giving him anything. He's giving me. What could I possibly give the Lord of life? I made you a macaroni necklace. I'm giving you all of myself, Lord. No, I got nothing, Jesus, please. And he always gives. He always gives. So I'm not hungry. Because he gives. I'm not sad because he always gives. This is the best day because he always gives. I'm going to give that to you. Not on your life, brother. He gives, and I want more. He gives, and I want more. Not for them. They can have it too. There's plenty to go around. I want it for me. I want to hold on to him. Not because he wants it. That's the beauty of love. He loves me, and so he doesn't need me to praise him. I praise him because of how good he is. I don't seek him so that I avoid the flames of hell. I seek him because he's the only one who has what I want. He's got it. He's the only one in town. You can call him whatever you want. He's not going to be upset. Call him the universe. Call him a higher power. Call him whatever you want. A rose by any name smells sweet. The Lord by any name is the author of everything that is good. And it's all right here. We just got to take it. When you get in the movie in your head, you step out of it. But if you're aware, he'll remind you, Gabe, you're walking away. Oh, yeah. And then I step back in. Almost done. Gospel of Thomas, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Jesus said, "Recognize what is in your sight, and that which is hidden from you will become plain to you. For there is nothing hidden which will not become manifest." His disciples questioned him and said to him, "Do you want us to fast? How shall we pray? Shall we give alms? What diet shall we observe?" Jesus said, "Do not tell lies. Do not do what you hate. For all things are plain in the sight of heaven. For nothing hidden will not become manifest, and nothing covered will not remain without being uncovered." The path may not feel apparent to you, but if you seek him, he will lead you. You may not know how the toilets will be fixed. You may not know how you can be happy. You may not know how you may find peace, but if you are diligent to seek him, he will lead you. Nothing that's hidden will remain hidden if you seek the Lord. How should we fast? How should we do this? How should we do that? You're focused on all the wrong details. Seek him. How do you seek him? You pray. You pray. And he leads you. He calls you out. He called him out of the desert. He'll call you out of your head. You're thinking about the fun thing that you get to do. You're thinking about the embarrassing thing that you did the other day. You're thinking about the bills. You're thinking about all of those things. And they cover it up. If you seek him, he'll uncover it. I can tell when I'm not seeking him because I'm not happy. I have a meeting today that I don't want to go to. When I start dreading it, I know I'm not seeking him. Did that make sense? And then I start thinking about, oh, I don't want to do this thing, and then I got to go talk to them. Oh, my gosh. And then he's going to try, and oh, my gosh. And then I run. The movie has begun. Get your popcorn. The movie has begun. I start thinking of all of the things that are going to happen. First, he's going to come and say this, and then I'm going to feel like this, and then I'm unhappy. But then when I'm able to take a moment, Lord, please help me. He reminds me, it's the best day, Gabe. The meeting will go well. And even if it doesn't, it's the best day. Because your happiness is not dependent on that meeting. Your happiness is not dependent upon your job, your emails, your children, the traffic. Your happiness is only dependent upon how willing you are to seek him. Let the cynics say what they want. It's the best day. Whew, man, it's like when I feel it, Todd, I'm just like, you know? And then like I'll step out of it and I'll be grumbling and texting people. And then I'll come back to it and I'll be like, dang it. By your standard of measure. Measure it out deep and wide, Stephen. Because it's good and it's right. doesn't mean that your life will be perfect every second of every day. People use the little things that come up to justify why it doesn't work, because they equate joy and happiness as the same thing. I got a new car, I'm happy. That's not joy. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get a new car. Doesn't mean you should drive in tattered robes and everything. Happiness is not joy. You'll be happy and you'll be sad. You'll be awake and you'll be tired. The joy is the peace that the Lord brings when you know that today is the best day. Every piece of meat is the best meat. Not for me, I'm a vegetarian, but every piece of cheese is the best cheese. If you're comparing them, you're never going to find the best, because you'll get another piece and be like, oh, that looks even better. Every day is the best day. This was the best church we ever had. Sorry, Ash. Sorry, Jed. Hope you enjoyed your crystal azure blue beaches. You missed it. But that's the key, because they're having the best plane ride they ever had. I'm going to have the best meeting today, Todd. Be blessed this week. Be blessed. Open it up. Open it all up by being willing to re-listen, to rethink, to refocus, to reframe. Humble yourself and he'll lift you up. I could have easily heard what that podcast and been like, Hindu monks, Buddhist monks, what a load. I don't believe any of that. And I would have lost out on my own feelings. You understand? Humble yourself. It could come from me. It could come from any of you. The wisdom, and when you hear it, there it is. That's good. Be blessed this week. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to talk all day. Todd's been working. All right. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this building. Thank you for your faithfulness. Help us to remember this week, Lord. Remind us, encourage us. Make us aware. When we're running the movie in our head, when we're thinking about the bad things or good things that could happen in the future, remind us that we're just playing it out in our head, and bring us back to the best day ever. When we think about past hurts, past pains, or past glories, remind us, Lord, shut the movie off. Come back to the best day ever. Help us to be aware, Lord, of the plans of the enemy, the booby traps and the pitfalls. Help us to be aware so we can see them and avoid them. Bring us back next week filled with the good news of your gospel, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.